Our text is John 21, especially verse 12. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. Come and dine. Beloved, when one comes to John chapter 21, there are many who are perplexed. There are those who have said that the Apostle John didn't write this chapter because really John chapter 20 closes out the gospel when you have Jesus appearing to the disciples and then to Thomas. And then Jesus says to Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet they have believed. Many other signs he also did, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. And now all of a sudden in chapter 21, John goes on to the third public appearance of Jesus to the disciples. How is this? Well, we could, if we were thinking of a worship service, one could think of chapter 1 as a prelude and chapter 21 as a postlude. Or in writing a book, and the gospel is written as a prologue, chapter 1, Jesus Christ's activity before his incarnation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And now chapter 21 is an epilogue, that is, after his earthly ministry, we now have Jesus' continued work, or his care, his rule of his church. And so we have here the third public appearance of Jesus to his disciples. There were other appearances to Mary Magdalene, to Peter, to the two men on the way to Emmaus. But Jesus now comes here a third time to his disciples. And we have at least two miracles here. Probably more. You have, first of all, the miracle of the miraculous catch of fish. And then you have the miracle also of Jesus providing for these 12 disciples. You have Jesus' command to them, cast your nets. That is, preach the word. Go! But you have also Jesus' command in our text, come. Come and dine. I will provide all your need and I will strengthen you. That is the way that the disciples are going to be able to go when they come and they dine with Christ Jesus. Hold on to that thought. We'll come back to it later. So under the theme, come and dine, notice with me the disciples' need. Notice, second of all, the sustenance given. And then thirdly, the fellowship enjoying. Cast your nets on the right side of the boat. That should have reminded the disciples way early at the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, when Jesus was with them in the boat and they had labored all night long. And Jesus then says to them, cast your net on the right side of the boat, and there was then also a miraculous catch of fish. And it was at that time, at the beginning of his earthly ministry, when he is calling his disciples, that he gives them their commission. I'm going to make you those who are catchers of men. There are similarities between those two miracles at the beginning of his ministry and now after his resurrection. Both of those miracles take place there on the Sea of Galilee. Both of them were preceded by a night of fruitless labor. In both of those miracles, the disciples witnessed a supernatural power of Christ Jesus. And both of them were followed with a commission to Peter. But there are differences. The beginning of the ministry of the earthly ministry, Jesus was with them in the boat. You can read of that later on today in Luke chapter 5. Now Jesus is standing there on the shore. In the first time, the net was broken because of the many fish. Now we read the net is secure, not broken at all. None of the fish escape. Jesus tells them then to be fishers of men. And now he says, now you go feed my sheep. The first time there was not a numbering of the fish, but now there is an exact number, for the number of the elect at the last time will be known. In the first time, there was a sorting of the fish. The good fish and the bad fish were cast out. But now the net is full. It is looking at the... When Jesus comes again, there is no bad fish. But they are all known, and they are good fish. They are great fish. But the point here is these disciples are now back at their old discipline, their old occupation. There are those who look at Peter's announcement, I go a-fishing, and they say it's disobedience. He was called to be a missionary. He was called to catch men, and now he goes back to fishing again for fish in the sea. There are others who say, look, these men have families that needed to be cared for. These men are waiting. They go up to Galilee as Jesus commands them, and they are waiting for Jesus again to appear to them. And while waiting, they are not idle. They are not twiddling their thumbs, but they are active. They are taking care of the needs of their families, and that is a proper role for them. Yes, they have the right later on as leaders in the church to receive their earthly needs through the congregations. But you'll remember even the Apostle Paul in his earthly ministry was a tent maker. He provided for his own needs. They go a-fishing. But what is really the need as Jesus now appears to them the third time? What is their need? Because that is important as we come to understand Jesus' command to them to come and dine. As Jesus had said earlier, the shepherd will be smitten and the sheep will be scattered. That took place. They were scattered. And now up in Galilee, you find only five of the disciples there together. Now, yes, there's seven. And there's different accounting for it. Are they all seven of the original 11? Or is it five of the original 11 and two other disciples? That is, in the broader sense, followers of Jesus. But they're not all there together, are they? They were scattered. And now Peter even threatens, I go a-fishing. That is, I go away fishing. They've been waiting, but Jesus hasn't come. Not only is there need that they are being scattered, and we're going to see why that's important, but second of all, these men are discouraged. They're discouraged. They have labored all night long. And when Jesus poses the question to them, they have to say no. We have caught nothing. These men are hungry. They've labored all night. And now they need to be sustained. That is, they need to be strengthened again with food. These men are impatient. They were waiting in Galilee as Jesus has commanded them, but it has been probably another 7-8 days since the last appearance to them publicly. Where is he? What now? When is he coming again? When is our task going to resume? They have a definite need that Jesus is going to be able to satisfy. And yes, congregation, we need to know our need before we will be satisfied and sustained by the Lord Jesus, even as we come this morning to the Lord's table to dine with Him. The Lord gives us difficulties, doesn't He? In order to reveal Himself as a very present help in trouble. A person doesn't go to the doctor unless he or she suspects that there is trouble. There's a need. One does not appreciate the table if there is no appetite. Do you, do I know our need? Can you see yourself in those disciples? We too, as a church, have been given a commission to catch men, to preach that precious gospel to all the nations of the world so that the church may be gathered in. And how often aren't we, like Elijah, complaining, looking at our smallness and saying, I alone am left. Take me, Lord. I want to resign my commission. How scattered, how divided the church appears. Fractured. Each going and doing their own thing. Oh, how the devil would like to divide the church. Not only the universal church, but how he loves to divide individual congregations, pitting one member against another member. Scattered. How discouraged we become in our labors, often not seeing much gained for all of our labors. Our hands are drooping. Is the Great Commission so important? Is it really so important to try to witness to our neighbors around us? They'll probably scoff or laugh at us or ignore us or hate us. And as a church, is it really important that we get missionaries out to different nations? And how often aren't we with drooping hands in those labors? How tired and how hungry we are, needing sustenance to continue with our lives and our labors. For as a well-known saying goes, empty cisterns are not a fountain for others to drink from. If we as parents do not study, we do not feed on God's Word, how are we able then to be a fountain to our children or to our neighbors around us? If we as a church are not built up in our faith, we will not be that light. or that fountain for others to drink the living waters. We need sustenance. We need to be fed and encouraged in God's Word so that we can go forth from those doors serving in this world. How impatient we become. It has been now almost 2,000 years. When is He coming again? Is He coming again? Is our faith all in vain? To a needy church, Christ comes to sustain us. We see an important lesson here. The resurrected Lord, who no longer lives here on earth, is still mindful of His church here on earth. He comes to give her sustenance. In the preaching of the Word and at the table again, He says, "Here I am. Come, eat and drink and live." Jesus comes to these weary and hungry and impatient and tired disciples with a question. A question that is asked in order to teach. How often doesn't the Lord do that, brothers and sisters? Boys and girls, you know how God came to Adam and Eve. "Adam, where are you? What have you done? Have you eaten from that tree that I told you not to eat from? Cain, where is your brother?" And we could go through the Scriptures and you find repeated questions like that. Pedagogical questions. Questions intended to teach. That's the way the Heidelberg Catechism is written. The questions are provided so that it gives the necessary answers. And so the question comes to these needy disciples, "Children, have ye any meat?" The disciples don't know who's asking that question. Is it a buyer? That was not unfrequent. That men would come to the lake where there were fishermen and they would want to buy fish for their meal of that day. And so there is this one who is standing there on the seashore asking, "Children, have ye any meat?" And they did not know that it was the Lord. You see, no one knows it is the Lord unless He reveals Himself to them. Christ is not always discerned, even though He is present. Haven't you found that in your life? They did not know that it was the Lord. Why not? Was it the distance? 200 cubits from shore? Was it still the darkness of early morning? Or is it because Christ is standing there in His glorified body and the glorified body cannot be seen by flesh and blood unless the Lord opens up eyes to behold Him? Yes, we need those kind of eyes, those eyes of faith, to behold Christ Jesus. For Christ Jesus is present with us this morning also, spiritually present, and we need eyes of faith to behold Him. The question comes to these disciples, "Children, have ye any meat?" in order to teach a lesson. How tired they are. how discouraged. They have labored. They've labored all night long. But their labors were not successful unless the Lord speaks and blesses that labor. The psalmist says that, doesn't he? Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house. Christ Jesus says, without me, ye can do nothing. Yes, disciples, you need to look to the Lord. Not only in the outward fishing, but what that fishing is symbolic of, and that is another whole sermon, the first part of this chapter, the labors of the church. The church needs to look to the Lord to provide for all of her needs. Children, have ye any meat? And the answer is, we've labored all night, but no. And when they come to shore, what do they see? They see that coals on fire with fish and bread. Food from heaven. They find a wonderful provision. Food from heaven. It was not their fish that they would now eat, even though the Lord had given a marvelous catch for them. But they see the fire already provided and the fish and the bread. Food from heaven. And Jesus' gracious command to them, come and dine. Come. As our opening of our worship service, those words of Jesus from Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. That is Jesus' command to his disciples, weary and worn after their night of labor. That is Jesus' command to us after our past week of examination. As we know our sins and are heavy laden, come. And we read that Jesus comes and he takes the bread and the fish and he gives it unto them. Oh, what a picture that must have been to them, a reminder. A reminder of Jesus' compassion on the multitudes. Boys and girls, do you remember that? Jesus looked at the multitude that had come out to him by the Sea of Galilee and he took compassion on them. And he took the little fish and the loaves of bread that the little boy had. He blessed it and he broke it and there was enough there for the 5,000 men plus their wives plus the children. Probably an attendance of 12,000 people. Jesus takes the fish and the bread that are by this fire and he gives it to them. The resurrected Christ has a lively interest in the care and the provision for his church. The glorified Lord cares. It is sometimes the case when a person of lowly birth or trials or so, when all of a sudden they come into a big inheritance or finally they become important and proud, they no longer have any use for the little peons that stood with them. What about our glorified Lord? Yes, he came the first time in humility and suffering. But now he's the glorified Lord. Does he still have an interest in us? And And the answer is, child of God, yes. Yes, He cares and He provides for His church. He is not unmindful of us, even in His glorified state as He is now in heaven. Jesus provided our text, come and dine. Now, child of God, even as the disciples looked and they saw that little fire with the fish and the bread, look. Look with your eyes at this table that the Lord has prepared for you and me this morning. Oh, it might not look like much to our eyes, a little bread and a little wine. But the Lord is going to care for us wonderfully. The Lord knows the needs of His church, and He furnishes a table before us, as the psalmist says in Psalm 23. And the Lord graciously commands you and me this morning, come and dine. What a provision. Oh, with our earthly eyes, it might not look like much. But by faith, we know it's not just bread and wine. But we know what is symbolized there is Jesus' broken body and His poured out blood for all of our sins. Even as Jesus broke the bread and the fish, divided it for the multitudes. So Jesus Christ has broken His flesh for a complete remission of all of our sins. And so in faith, take and eat, remember and believe. His body is broken unto a complete remission of all of our sins. Needy, weary saints, toiling all night. We need now again to be strengthened in order to go forth to serve, to wait for the Lord's coming again. As the psalmist tells us in Psalm 27, verse 14, wait on the Lord, and He will strengthen thine heart. Do you believe that, child of God? Yes, come to this table. Come in faith. Wait on the Lord to sustain you. He will strengthen you. He will strengthen you. We saw the disciples' need and our need. We see the great provision. Jesus' crucified body and blood. But now these words, come and dine with me. Come and dine with me. Fellowship enjoined. Not just physical food. Not merely set before us is Christ crucified, His body broken, His blood poured out. But Jesus Christ is the host at this table, and we are His guest, and we dine with Him. Enjoyed for us is fellowship, communion. Now, sometimes we lose sight of that fact, don't we? Because we live in such a hurried society. We drive through a restaurant and we quick eat our hamburger in the car while we're driving. Or at home, we quick make a sandwich or pop something into the microwave and quick eat it and we're on our way. In the olden days, there was a lot of work in the preparation. And then they would sit around the table and they would enjoy the food with one another. They enjoyed fellowship with one another. Jesus, now in His glorified body, is no longer with the disciples day by day. He only appears to them every once in a while to let them know that He is truly alive, that they may be eyewitnesses, and to give them instruction. But in His glorified body, He now comes there to the Sea of Galilee, and He appears a third time to strengthen them in their faith and cause them to look forward. Look forward when He will be with them always by His Word and by His Spirit. Yes, Jesus will always be with them in a greater measure than He was before. His Word in front of them, His Spirit poured out, dwelling within them. And yes, look forward. Look forward to the end time when Jesus Christ takes us home and when all the church is gathered in the new heavens and the new earth and we sit down with Jesus at the wedding banquet. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Those disciples had fellowship with the glorified Jesus there by the Sea of Galilee. But those disciples also had fellowship together as a group, as the body of Christ Jesus. They had been scattered, each threatening to go their own way, but Jesus calls them together and sits down with them. Yes, it's true that we have here only 5 or 7 of the disciples of Jesus together, but that's only the beginning. The beginning of that gathering of the glorious church, uniting them in faith and in obedience. And as we're going to see at the end of this chapter, the Lord willing tonight, beautiful fellowship restored amongst the disciples. For when you go through that list of disciples, you find doubting Thomas, don't you? And you see Peter, who denied the Lord 3 times. And you see the other disciples that had scattered when the shepherd was smitten. But now they are gathered together and they are restored to sweet fellowship together. But we'll look at that more this evening. And what about us this morning? As Jesus comes and commands us, come and dine with me in the preaching and in the sacrament, we enjoy sweet communion with Christ Jesus. Fellowship. Fellowship with the Lord. Yes, Christ with His body is in heaven. We are still on earth. Yet by faith, our souls soar up to heaven and we are with Christ Jesus, worshiping Him. That's what we're warned, aren't we? Let us not cleave to the bread and the wine, but by faith we look to our resurrected Lord. Fellowship with Christ Jesus. That's what the communion table is all about. That's what the Greek word implies. It's translated 2 different ways, communion and fellowship. It's one and the same. And so when one says, I'm going to church this morning to take communion, what does it mean? It means that we're coming to have fellowship with our Lord and we're coming to have fellowship with our saints. You and I do not come to this table individually, each eating our bread and our wine and going our own way, but we come together as the body of Jesus Christ. And we enjoy sweet fellowship with our Lord at the table and with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Sinners, but saved by grace. Redeemed sinners. The body of Christ Jesus. The fellowship of believers together with the Lord. James Montgomery Boyce, in his commentary on John, has a beautiful quote. And I want to quote him a moment. He says, "Some Christians are going to heaven miserably. Others are going with the joy of heaven in their hearts and on their faces. What is the difference? The difference is that the latter have learned to come and dine with Jesus and with one another." There's a secret, isn't it? Joy in our pilgrimage. Joy. A joy in our hearts and on our faces. Fellowship with Christ Jesus and fellowship with God's children, His church. May the Lord give us that sweet communion fellowship this morning as we come to His table. Amen. Let's open our Psalters to the form, page 91. I'm going to read the form slowly, for we do not want it to be a hurried meal, but a time of sweet fellowship around God's Word. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat. This is My body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also He took the cup, when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of Me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary first rightly to examine ourselves, which we were called to do in our preparatory sermon, and secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ has ordained and instituted the same, namely, to His remembrance." Then if you turn the page, we will not read that part of the examination of the form. But in the second column, the first open paragraph, "Let us now also consider to what end the Lord hath instituted His supper, namely, that we do it in remembrance of Him. Now, after this manner are we to remember Him by it. First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that He assumed our flesh and blood, that He bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly, from the beginning of His incarnation to the end of His life upon earth. And that He hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of Him the bloody sweat in the garden, where He was bound that we might be freed from our sins. That afterward He suffered innumerable reproaches that we might never be confounded. That He was innocently condemned to death that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. Yea, that He suffered His blessed body to be nailed to the cross, that He might fix on there the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon Himself the curse due to us, that He might fill us with His blessings, and hath humbled Himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when He cried out with a loud voice, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of Him. And finally confirmed with His death and shedding of His blood the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when He said, "It is finished." Secondly, that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, in His Last Supper, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and gave it to His disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of Me." In like manner also after supper He took the cup, gave thanks, and said, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in My blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of Me." That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this My hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given My body to the death of the cross and shed My blood for you, and as certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with My crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life, as this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of Me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that He directs our faith and trust to His perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein He becomes to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by His death, He hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening Spirit, that we by the same, who dwelleth in Christ as in the head, and in us as members, might have true communion with Him, and be made partakers of all His blessings of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. besides, that we by this same Spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the holy apostle saith, for we, being many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together one wine floweth and mixeth itself together, so shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be altogether one body through brotherly love for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who hath so exceedingly loved us, and not only show this in word, but also in very deed towards one another. There to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through His Holy Spirit. Amen. That we may obtain all this, let's humble ourselves before God and in true faith implore His grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech Thee that Thou will be pleased in this supper, in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily, more and more with true confidence, give ourselves up to Thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Spirit, may be fed and comforted with His true body and blood, yea, with Him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but He in us, and we in Him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace. That we may not doubt, but Thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as Thy beloved children and heirs. Grant us also Thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations with uplifted heads, expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where He will make our mortal bodies like unto His most glorious body, and take us unto Him in eternity. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Strengthen us also by this Holy Supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we prepare the table of our Lord, please turn in your psalters to number 203, and we will sing stanzas 1 and 3, in sweet communion, Lord, with Thee. May now be fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus. Let us not cleave with our hearts to the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting. But we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Spirit with his body and blood, as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. The bread that we break is a communion of the body of Jesus Christ. As we come and we dine with Jesus now at his table, we look forward to when Jesus comes again and we will enjoy him forever in the new heavens and the new earth. In Matthew chapter 25, we read, this is the end of that beautiful sermon on the Mount of Olives. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer, and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Take, eat, remember, believe that the precious body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken unto a complete remission of all of our sins. The cup of blessing that we bless is a communion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take, drink ye all of it, remembering to believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was shed unto a complete remission of all of our sins. Loved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at this table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving, and everyone say in his heart, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Who hath not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore God commendeth therewith his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let's pray. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast of thy infinite mercy given us thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal. And that thou givest us lively faith, whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain his Holy Supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let's turn in our Psalters, Song of Thanksgiving, Psalter number 116. For thee, my God, the living God, my thirsty soul doth pine. Oh, when shall I behold thy face, thou majesty divine? We'll sing all four stanzas while the deacons receive your offering for the poor.
Oh,
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be yours. Amen.